Blog Talk Radio.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Alrighty, we're back. It's a Monday evening. It's a Monday evening at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time, and it's time for the Super Dave Show again. Sorry about the last few days, but I was in St. Louis. I had some very, 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 very important business to attend to, and it's something about that'll happen in the future. So, at this point, I can't say anything, but you will be very, very pleased. There are some big things going on, and all I can do is tease you out there right now. in a few minutes, we're going to be talking to Don Carricker, who is running for school board here in Springfield, Missouri. Now, I know for a lot of you people out there, that's, big deal, it's a school board. Thank God. We are all guilty of this. Think of it. If you don't pay attention to what's going on in your school board, remember, these are the same school boards that are making a lot of decisions on how your children are being taught, not just what the politicians and the teachers are going with. We're talking about a lot of these people. So stay tuned. We'll have Don on the phone in a few minutes here. Don's a very good guy. And frankly, I'll be the first to tell you, I think he's probably one of the few people out there that probably have a lot of our like ideas. You know, we're very much alike in a lot of ways. So give it a couple minutes here. We'll have Don on the phone. In the meantime, 2 weeks from this past Saturday, which is April 2nd, I want to make sure everyone is aware to be in Springfield from 12 to 3 o'clock. I know the website says 1 to 3. I think we're going to change that to 12 to 3. So it's 12 to 3 o'clock. A lot of good people there. It's going to be at the Cartoons Oyster Bar and Restaurant. I don't do oysters. Sorry about that. But we'll be inside and outside. So if you want to drink, eat good food, I got to tell you, great food. My buddy Tony owns the place, and it's a good deal. But I think we'll have a good time that day. We're going to have a lot of the school board candidates there. We are going to have city council people there. We're going to have some of them on the air this week and next week so they can at least tell you who they are. And you can tell me why you may want to vote for them or may not want to vote for them. In fact, ask them questions. These people are there to make decisions. You know, the one thing I tell you every day I do this, I realize that more and more people are getting involved, but not enough. And what we tend to forget is we don't even know who these people are we're sending to these places. You know, they go to the school board. They go to Jeff City. They go to, they go to city council. You know, they go to D.C. We don't even know who these people are. We're giving them our wallets. We're giving them our children. And we're sitting back and we're all mad because it's like, hey, things aren't working out like I wanted. Well, damn it, you hired the people. You're the ones doing it. So it's frankly time to do something a little bit different. So anyway, it's real important that you do get involved, and we are going to do everything we can to make sure that happens. Excuse me. I'm trying to get over this allergy thing I'm having. Al Gore, this is wonderful. You did something right. Can you believe it? Wow. Amazing. Anyway, it's warm out there. I think it's like 75 degrees today or something like that. First day of spring. This is perfect. This is what it's supposed to be. So anyway, we have the chat room is open. So if you'd like to go on there, if you're afraid to come on, please go to the chat room and give us your questions. I'll go ahead and read them. And in the meantime, if you would like to call in, the call-in number is 323-784-9620. So if you have any questions for Don, please give that a call. One more time, 323 784-9620. I'm going to be doing this all night. It looks like coughing, so I apologize for that. Okay, let me get my handy-dandy phone out here so I can give Don a call. I told him I'd call him at 705, and we always do what we say. So let me – someone one time said, why don't you just go ahead and put the number out on the air? I'm sure he would love that, you know. I'll let him tell you that if he wants. But, okay, Don, let me see. That's what it should be. All right, we're calling Don. Let's see if he answers the phone and make sure he knows to watch his mouth. And just like I will. And one ringy dingy, two ringy dingy. All right, Don's not home. What do you think of that? We'll leave a message. Wouldn't it be good? Well, guess what, folks? He's not answering the phone. Let's all leave a message. Call failed. Well, that's good. That's really good. Okay, well, we'll wait a few minutes and call him again. The magic of the phones here, right? Don, by the way, Don, if you are listening, call 323-784-9620. That will get you the same way. So you can try doing that. That's 323-784-9620. And that's anybody that's listening, by the way. I was in the St. Louis area last week and had a really great discussion with a union worker. And actually, he's a gentleman we had on the show a couple weeks ago. And I have to tell you, I not really knowing enough about what's going on, and we're all guilty of this. You know, when you got people up in D.C. and Jeff City, you know they don't know what's going on. And I don't know how many people I talk to. They think I know a lot. Well, I know a lot more than most people, but I'm still fascinated by how much I don't know. And for me, this show is about getting to know who these people are, who are going to represent us. And you learn a lot. But anyway, back to the union guy. He is not for right to work, as you can imagine. But this gentleman is a very conservative Tea Party guy. I mean, this guy is a class act. And his name is Kevin Harnett. He's out of the St. Louis area. And, you know, what was really interesting is the fact that Kevin doesn't like a lot of the union activity that's going on. He absolutely does not like what is going on in Wisconsin. He doesn't like SEIU. He doesn't like the AFL-CIO. Their unions are a little bit different. And I'm going to say this one more time. I have some friends that have a carpeting business in the Southeast Missouri area. And the lady told me, she said, we like our union people here. And she's a strong conservative, but even her two sons are members of the same union. So there's a lot more to it for some unions than there is for others. And yes, a lot of them are bullies. I'll be the first to admit it. But frankly, people, I'm telling you, not everyone is. And the right to work law, which irritates people when I say this, basically takes away the owner's right to have a closed shop if he wants. That's really what the law is all about. And if with the bullying and all that kind of stuff, why don't we just maybe figure out some laws that we can pass when it comes to that type of activity? You know, let everybody, you know, if you own a business, do what you got to do. I mean, if you want to have a closed shop, that's your business. I mean, who in the heck am I to tell you, no, you have to have non-union activity? I mean, I'm not even a union fan, but I just think it's ridiculous. And we'll go a step farther with this, too. When it comes to in the Springfield, Missouri area, in the meantime, I'll try to call Don again. In the Springfield, Missouri area, we have two ballot measures which take away people's rights. And what I mean by that, let me get this here. What I mean by that is the fact that there's smoking allowed right now in bars and restaurants and all that. Frankly, when most people go to the bar or restaurant, they smoke. And the smoking Nazis are out there right now telling everyone that, no, you can't do that. And most of these people have never been in these places and have no desire to go into them. So that's that is so intrusive, and they're trying to tell these bar owners, no, we don't go in your place, but we still want to tell you how to operate your business. By the way, if somebody's listening, you know, Don Carricker, give him a call or tell him, say, hey, Super Dave's trying to get a hold of you. You were supposed to be here, Don. Hopefully he's just got other issues. But anyway, let me read some of the comments we have here because we got a couple of them. Let me see here. By the way, Greg and Jim, you're big fans of Don, but we're hoping he calls in as he said he would. I know how that goes though sometimes. Besides that, I wasn't prepared except talk to Don, so he's going to mess up my day. Don't make me mad, Don. If you want my vote, you better call here pretty soon. Nah, I don't really care. I can live without him. Hey, it's another soon-to-be politician. You see what happens, guys? You see what happens? They run for office, and next thing you know, they treat you like this, you know? Well, I guess. And they're not even supposed to do that. Now, by the way, when I was on broadcast radio, which is going to happen again, but when I was on broadcast radio, we didn't have to try to get interviews with a lot of people unless they were like Roy Blunt or somebody. You know, they all think that they're supposed to be on CBS or NBC or something like that, or Fox, but they're not supposed to be on rinky-dink radio stations in Springfield, Missouri. That's not for all of them, but that's just for some of them. But anyway, it's interesting how these these people stand in line and they can't wait to interview with you. And a lot of the people that I do know who are in politics are aware of me because I have interviewed them on the air. And I think they kind of measure and say, well, let me see, he doesn't have the audience he used to have, so am I going to waste my time? But what they tend to forget sometimes is a lot of people who do know me, and I think a lot of them do respect my opinion, would come to me and say, well, this particular person is running for city council. What do you think of them? Yeah, guys, you guys running? They actually do that. So as much as you may say, well, I don't know if that's a good thing to do, I'll leave that up to you. I'm not saying I don't tell anybody how to vote, but if they ask me an honest question, I guarantee you they're going to get an honest answer. And a lot of times you just aren't going to like what I tell them. Because I was working with one of the people running last year, and I was actually kind of behind him for a while until he turned into a liberal. And when he turned into a liberal, guess what? People were calling me, and they were saying, well, I thought you were for this guy. And I said, yeah, I was, but he came out to be totally different than he said, which is one reason, by the way, you don't make your mind on somebody right away. I see Ed Martin. I see Sarah Steelman. All these people running for office, and guess what happens? As soon as they file, bang, everybody's for them. Why don't we wait a little bit? Why don't we make these people work hard for our votes instead of jumping in bed with them right the first day? I mean, it's like a lot of you people out there, you get married. What do? Go on the first date and say, yeah, I saw her a few weeks ago, and I'm going to marry her for 30 years, in this case, 2 or 4 years? I mean, how stupid can you be? But this is what we do. You know, we end up, going for one person immediately. I mean, some of these people, honestly, you know, the Sarah Steelman people, I find it fascinating. There's a gentleman in the Branson area. He's a nice guy. Totally lost in my book, by the way. But he's a nice guy. And what does he do? He's a big Sarah Steelman fan. And he tells me how he tells everybody on Facebook how Sarah Steelman's the way to go. And then when he's not referring to that, he'll talk about something he's doing, and he'll act totally different than the person that he's backing. And that's so normal. So it's like, make up your mind. Don't be inconsistent. If you really and truly believe who you are, then make that other person you're voting for be the same way. Don't just make excuses for them. That happens all the time. I will try one more time to give Don a call. Otherwise, we'll have to mark them off the vote for list. Oh, I don't like excuses, so we'll see. We'll try one more time here and see what happens. You'll probably say, you got the days wrong, that's all. nothing else, I'll tell you what, there was someone else. Actually, I canceled an interview with somebody to talk to Don. And because he's running for school board, the other guy isn't. But I don't think Don's going to make it. So, Don. Oh, you never irritate the talk show host. You know what happens to people like that. Okay, we're going to try one more person here. Sorry about this, folks. This is the fun of doing this all on your own. Then you get to, let's go back here. You do it all on your own, and then this is what happens. See, when you have a station, what happens is then you have people do this for you, and you have backups, you have all kinds of things. But when you do it on your own, it's not quite the same. So we're going to give Dean Moore a call process. By the way, if you like, call the show. The number is 323-784-9622. Hey, Dean, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, pretty good.
This is Super Dave. How you doing? Sorry about the you're on the air. How's that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and I'll be perfectly honest with you. I'm not going to be like a politician. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. One of the candidates for school board wanted to be interviewed tonight, and he didn't make it.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So he didn't make it. And like I tell people, go ahead.
That might be a good quality in a politician, not to show up.
Well, yeah.
We're all safer that way.
I know, and I like the guy too, but it's like, hey, if you're not going to make the interview, then it doesn't sound too good, does it? By the way, Dean ran for senator in the last race, and what's that? I mean, Congress. Sorry, not Senate. Congress, I'm sorry. Because in the Senate race, we had nobody to vote for. We had Roy Blunt. That's a nobody. We had Robin Carnahan. That was a nobody. And then Jonathan Dine. I mean, you know, he was a drug addict. His whole campaign was about drugs, by the way. Legalized drugs. By the way, I'm a libertarian. And then there was some nutcase Jerry Beck. And that guy was loony. Did you ever meet that guy?
I believe I did once.
Yeah, well, you're still alive, so, you know. Well, I was at a Senate forum watching that guy. We thought he was going to start pulling out a weapon and start hitting. Oh, boy. Somebody doesn't like what he just said. Good. I like that. Anyway, we thought he was going to pull out a weapon. You know, he just was nuts. He really was. So, anyway. So, what's up with Dean now? Now that you're – are you going to ever try to run again or what?
I think I will. I decided to take a break. I don't like the idea of two-year-long political campaigns. And – that's the current modus operandi for politicians, is to start their reelection campaign the minute they take the oath or earlier.
You know, Dean, I just made a comment about that right before I got you on the air. And the other person's hard to hear. Is that the same thing with everybody else here? Let me see. Well, I guess they want you to speak up a little bit.
All right.
When I was on the when I look at what goes on now, you got Sarah Steelman and Ed Martin running. You immediately have people jump on the bandwagons. This should be our next senator. And I'm stunned by that. It's like, why are you jumping in bed with these people already?
Yeah, there's a long time before the election. There's a lot of time to really vet the candidates. And that's, I think it's by design. They want to get us all polarized immediately.
Well, they want us to think about what's going to happen next and not even pay attention to what's going on now.
Exactly. And I'm just going to hold out for a little while. I'm going to see what's going on. I mean, things are going on in Washington essentially as I predicted. You know, I'm not surprised. I'm just disappointed. But I'm going to hold out and see what's next before I make any concrete decisions and financial decisions.
Well, at this point, Dean, I see no one yet that actually excites me one ounce.
No. Yeah. Of those two, I don't know. It's hard. You know, there's 5% good in both of them and 95% in both of them. I want to see something out of them first. I want to see them come out and say something about the 17th Amendment. You know,
by the way, remember all these candidates in this area that couldn't wait to do the fair tax?
Yeah.
Whatever happened to that?
Yeah, they don't need your vote now. That's what.
Oh, the election's over. That's right. Yeah, that's what happens too. But
yeah.
You know, Billy Long did vote on against something. Oh, the extension. That was it.
Well,
now I will give Billy a little leeway, only for the fact he's brand new doing this. Okay, that's one of the reasons why it's kind of interesting why we elect people who have never held elective office and make them congressman or senator. I mean, that's just, I would think you'd want to learn in the state, local and state level myself.
Yeah, there's definitely something to be said for that. You know, the state, but you know, the state is a good learning classroom, but on the other hand, technically, constitutionally speaking, the state legislature is a higher office than the federal government.
You're absolutely right.
And so, you know, I kind of jokingly said it when I was running for Congress that I'm running for the lower office first, and after I'm done doing that, maybe if I want to advance, I'll go to the state legislature.
You know, that's, I like that. I like what you said there. That's a pretty good deal.
You know,
hey,
more power.
Oh, yeah. By the way, but they need to use it.
Yeah, they don't know that, but they do.
One of our chat room people says the Libertarian Party rules.
Well, I mean, there's places where the Libertarian Party just absolutely does rock. But unfortunately, they don't use their strength to a good purpose. You know, there's a lot to be said for libertarian values because, you know, a lot of those libertarian values have got what got us to where we're at. Smaller government, less intervention, you know, butt your nose out of other people's business and, you know, live your own life as long as you're not hurting anybody else.
Right.
And those are good, honest American values.
Right. But unfortunately, the press and the both parties have absolutely demonized the Libertarian Party. And they haven't done themselves any favors. Well, you know, this is to my chat room person here. The Libertarian Party was doing a pretty good job until you put Jonathan Dine up there. It was like, are you kidding? By far, the most qualified person was Sissy Spragans.
Well, I wasn't following the Libertarians per se, although they do a great job of every now and then keeping the two major clubs, I mean parties, in check.
Clubs
by bringing things out. They're clubs. They're private clubs.
Of course they are.
That have convinced people that they run the government.
You know,
when in reality, it's our government.
Right. But you know what? He agrees on Sissy. Sissy was a very smart lady, and unfortunately, and this is to our buddy on the chat room here. Unfortunately, the Libertarian Party, just like all the other parties, screwed up royally. In fact, Libertarian and Constitutional Party screwed up royally by putting up Jonathan Dine. And so that's when they, you know, I have some friends down in the Southeast area, and they're always bragging about the Constitutional Party. You know, that sounds great, but unfortunately, look at some of the people they've put up there.
Well, they didn't run anybody here in the 7th District last time. I considered it. But really, in that race and in general, I really prefer to be independent because that's how our framers really intended our representatives to be, not to be party-based or club-based. The Constitution Party has a great platform, has a lot of great ideas, and they're statistically, as far as third parties go, they're a very large third party nationally, but they don't have, you know, all 50 states. But people in the last election and previous elections really weren't ready for a third party. You know, they're still a little skeptical. But honestly, the two big major clubs, I mean parties, are really doing the third parties a great service by making people have a second shot now.
Well, you're right, but unfortunately, you're talking about the informed voter.
Right.
The informed voter is a small minority of the voters. Let's not kid anybody. I mean, that's a reason why I remember talking to a politician one time who was fairly new, and he said, well, I don't have a chance to win. I go, well, what makes you think you don't have a chance? He goes, I don't have the money. But he didn't know why money was important. He said, well, I didn't get enough signs up. And I said, you really think that's what it is? I said, you can have all the signs you want up, but unfortunately, unless you got TV and radio commercials, is where most people vote on them. You know, you can have all the signs you want up, but it's about TV and radio. It just is. You're selling a candidate.
And the vast majority of that really only makes a difference in the last week or two before the election. Most people don't make up their mind until the very last minute.
That's absolutely right. They can have an idea, but, you know, it's like our friend Alan Eisen found out with Tom Schweik. Tom Schweik, the last weekend before the primary, ran some extremely negative ads that were lies, by the way. And then what happened? Tom Schweik kicked Alan's butt. And Alan didn't have any money to come back, but it was too late. It was a good political move, but unfortunately, it was cheap, and we probably lost a good guy with it. But, you know, bottom line was Tom Schweik didn't do much of the other stuff that a lot of candidates did, and he still won.
Yeah. Well, good politics often doesn't make good policy and often doesn't make good products for the American people, and that's just reality. But we're a strong country. We're a strong people. We're going to overcome this too. Just one more struggle to throw up, you know, with all the other ones we've overcome. But the people, I think, while informed voters are hard to come by, I think the general population, you know, maybe not a majority yet, but a lot of people are watching that weren't watching before. A lot of people that really weren't interested in politics before are maybe a little bit more interested, a little bit more involved. You know, the Tea Party is the most amazing thing to happen in our society. Oh, and
in our lifetime.
Yeah, in our lifetime at least.
Right.
And we still don't know where it's going. We still don't know what it's going to do. It's just.
Now, wait a minute. Harry Reid said it was dead. I saw him say this. Said that the Tea Party's dead. We don't have to worry about them anymore.
And the Republicans believed him.
Well, yeah. Oh, I agree with you. We're having a tea party on April 2nd, and I assure you there's a lot of people out there who say, well, I don't know if it's worth it. Well, you know, if you like what they're doing up in D.C. right now, please don't show up. You know, don't show up because you're happy with them. You know, they got a $3 trillion budget up there. They're going to take the Republicans and say, I want to take 61 billion, and the Democrats say $6.5
billion.
Yeah. So, you know. The voters are sleeping, you know, the political people like you and I will pay attention, but most people go, well, they're overspending. I guess we'll wait 2 years and we'll vote them out again. That's what they do.
Yeah.
So they put
really
2 weeks into it. What's that?
What we really need to be doing is lighting some fire under a bunch of people. And really the Tea Party, I'm not going to say they've gone asleep. And I'm not going to say they're going away, but we're kind of in a lull right now, and we need this Tea Party on the 2nd. We need to have these public meetings to get people active again. It's been a long winter. I'm tired. The election didn't turn out. The election turned out the way, you know, a lot of people thought it should, but nothing's happened since.
It's an improvement, but right now we have local people, and you and I have our own ideas about education, and right now we got people running for school board. Now, I know most people say, big deal. And every one of us have to admit we were there once. I'm not there anymore. I'm watching an educational system that belongs in the toilet. I mean, it's just awful. And they're taking our money, and they're doing all kinds, and they're taking it. I mean, they're just taking us to the cleaners, and they're doing nothing in return. It's about job.
It's the worst return on investment ever. Government schools is a horrible investment, by and large. And I'll admit, I'm biased. I taught private high school for 5 years. But the amount of money that we spend on education since the 60s, everybody should have a PhD by now. The amount of money that the average classroom spends doing nothing throughout a school year is an abomination. And that money belongs to us. It doesn't belong to the teachers' unions. It doesn't belong to the government. It's our money. And they're our children, not the government's children. And they are really committing child abuse with this so-called education system that we're paying through the nose for. Now, that's not to say there's not good schools and there's not good teachers. Everybody knows there is. But this government system has just destroyed what used to be by far and away the world's best education system. and we've thrown it away for something that's so substandard that the countries that most of our students have never heard of have a better education system with far less money. You know, in 1900, to graduate the eighth grade, we have college students that couldn't pass that test today. You know, just,
we've lowered the standards so much, it's not even funny.
It's horrible. I'm an employer, and I'll get these applicants that literally cannot read or write, and they've graduated high school.
Yes.
Years ago, I was a night manager at a Taco Bell, and we had a sign, and this was out in California, and we had a sign that said, now hiring. Now, in California, it's a legal distinction between now hiring and now accepting applications. Those are two entirely different legal signs. And Taco Bell wasn't up to speed on California law and had a now hiring sign in the window. And this individual came in and wanted an application, and he wanted to take it home, and he had to fill it out there in the restaurant. That made him mad. He came back with his girlfriend, and his girlfriend filled it out, and he X'd in the signature line. And he turned it in, and I filed it. You know, we're required to keep it. So I filed it in the appropriate place where it would never possibly be considered for employment. And, you know, a month or so later, you know, the now hiring sign is still in the window, so he comes back with his attorney. And Taco Bell settled out of court. And we had to hire an older lady to stand behind him or sit behind him on the assembly line to read the menu to him because he couldn't read the screen. And because terms of the settlement, he couldn't be given any menial jobs. He couldn't wipe down tables. He couldn't empty trash cans. He couldn't sweep the parking lot. He couldn't wash dishes. He had to be given an important job, like making food.
Now, wait a minute.
He couldn't read the screen.
If you're working,
those are the terms of the settlement.
Okay, but if you're working a regular job, it's not working. Normally, you retrain them. So since none of the stuff that he was supposed to learn in school really took effect, why didn't they just send him back to school?
Oh, it worked great for him. 2 years later, when I left, he was still there. You know, and I was the closing manager, and I wiped tables and took out trash and mopped and did dishes. I did all things, and I was a stinking night manager. But we had to hire a lady to read the menu to him. And as far as I know, he never made a piece of food that made it to a customer. It all went into a trash can at the end of the line. And it just made life miserable for everybody else in the store, because if you've ever been to Taco Bell, they got two food lines, and one side usually does drive-through, and one side does the in-house. Well, he was taking up the drive-through side, so the other side had to do both the in-house and the drive-through, and those people had to work twice as hard so this moron could sit there and not be able to read the screen.
Hey, watch it now. You're giving retarded kids a bad name.
Now, he learned very, very well. He just didn't learn anything useful in school.
Right.
He's probably still there.
But that's our educational system, unless we do something. You know, that's why I go back to what I was saying. We got to have people who really and truly have to do something different there instead of just the same thing. When I read some of the profiles of the biographies of the people running for school board, you could tell right away there was people there who were going to run, who were going to do the same thing. And not only that, but they're going to ask for more money. They're going to go, wait a minute, we got to pay these teachers more money, because the reason these kids are learning is you got to give teachers more money. What I never could understand is, you mean right now if they're only making 75 cents on the dollar, they're only giving us 75%? Now, I don't know about you, the jobs I worked at, if I was, you know, I would work as hard as I could to get the raise, not just say, well, I'm only getting half the money, so I'll give you half the work.
Well, we definitely need a merit-based education system where the good teachers come to the top and get rewarded for it, and the bad teachers get the boot.
But honestly,
that's
do we
exactly
need
– what we don't have.
Okay. In grade school and high school, from the age of 5 years old or six, whatever, up to 17 or 18, do we really need 12 years of school of all the stuff they're teaching? I, for the life of me, do not believe for 1 minute that we need all those years to teach them the little bit they know at the end of 12 years.
Well, most homeschoolers can do all that in about 4 years and do four or five times as much knowledge building in that time and skill building. You know, so much of government school, the Thomas Dewey system that we have, is so repetitious and so boring to the average kid. It's just brain numbing, and I think that's on purpose.
Right.
But they're not learning very much in that 12 years. I mean, think about if you're in a job, how much skill that you can develop in a job in 12 years.
Oh, yeah.
You become a craftsman in 12 years.
But what they'll say is they'll say, but we're the ones that taught them so they can learn that. And it's like, no, you didn't. Because when they get out of high school, they don't know how to do half the crap that they even should know. They can't add half the time. They can't do the basic stuff that needs to be done. And so, yeah, I know employers, like you said, they have to teach their people how to add. They got to teach them how to do a lot of stuff. And that's crazy. So,
yeah, and I'm in the same boat. If the cash register didn't tell them how much the change was, they'd have no idea.
Right. I agree.
And these are graduates from high school, and I've seen this for years.
Right.
Now, when you know, throwing money at the anybody's money at the problem is not the solution.
Nope.
The perfect example is the school where I taught was a church school. Our tuition was about $3,500 a year. Our teachers didn't make all that much money. They did it more out of love than there to get a huge paycheck, because none of us did. And yet we outscored on standardized tests. We outscored every multi-million-dollar high school around us. Every government school around us was far below us in standardized testing. And at that time in California, they were required to use the same test statewide so that parents could compare from one school to the next.
You know what? And they're teaching. But you know what? They're teaching those kids the test, too, and you weren't. That's what's amazing.
Yeah, and they do that, too. But what they would do is each school district would be together and make sure that they had a different test so you couldn't compare one school to the next. And the state was supposed to take over school districts if they did that, but they, of course, never did. But every now and then we would choose, we would always use the test that the state mandated for that year.
Right.
Every now and then one of our close-by schools would actually use the test they were supposed to be using, so we would have an apples-for-apples comparison. And every year, our $3,500 a year, and most people weren't even paying that, we're blowing the doors off the $12,000-$14,000 a year public school student. And we were in trailers. We didn't have – most of our teachers didn't have teaching certificates. You know, most of them were
right.
Parents.
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. They can't teach
them. We were blowing the doors off them.
But from what I've heard, they can't teach unless they got a certificate because they're not qualified.
A private school can certify the curriculum, not the teachers.
I know that.
In some states, there's a way around that.
But most parochial schools in the state of Missouri won't even hire people unless they're certified.
Right. And it's
that's
legal
a fact.
Protection for them.
Well, exactly. And that's the unfortunate part because I'm married to someone who would be a fabulous teacher. Unfortunately, she didn't go through the part of getting certification. And it's too bad because the educational system is losing someone that would do a great job. You know, and someone just said the thing about making it come back on the teachers if the kids don't do a good job on the math test. I got to tell you right now, I'm not a fan of all the tests.
No.
I'm really not. I don't know what the hell they're trying to do with a lot of these tests because my daughter, who we homeschool, is 14. She's light years ahead of most of those kids in school, and I guarantee you she could probably do well in the test, but, you know, she doesn't waste her time with it. We don't waste time with it. In fact, she's one of the best spellers I've ever seen without trying to learn how to spell. Because what I told her when she was younger, I said, you know, all those little things that I learned I think are kind of silly. And the one that got me the most was I before E, except after C, except in a whole bunch of other words.
Yeah.
Neighbor and way, the rest of them, you know. And so I told her, I said, do it by memory. When you're reading, you know, she loves to read now. Thank God I got her out of the schools. She was in school for 5 months and then became a non-reader, but she's a reader now. But anyway, I told her, I said, learn to remember what the words look like when you read them. And that's what she does. And what's good about that is the fact that you don't think about the fact of how it's misspelled. Because when you go through spelling tests a lot of times, you forget how it's spelled because you're trying to figure out if that's the right spelling or the wrong spelling. You ever do that? You're going back, you're going, now, wait a minute. That's weird.
There's times when I can't totally tell if the word's spelled right, but I know it looks wrong. I mean,
yes.
Not exactly how, but looking at the word is exactly how your brain understands that. That's how your brain works.
But that's not what they teach us. And I've
right.
been through this story before. I subtract left to right, which I think is easy. Maybe someday we'll learn. Heck no, I'm not going to learn how to speak English. You kidding me?
Yeah. Well, I mean, reading is not necessarily a natural thing that your brain does. It's a learned response that you have to learn it. and, you know, the way that all the rules that we've thrown in, you know, how did, you know, farm kids in the 1850s in Kansas learn how to read and write far beyond anything we have now without books? So they didn't have half of these rules. They weren't bored to death sitting in a classroom going over the same thing year after year after year. You know, they were taught, and then they put it to use immediately because that was the main form of entertainment. One was reading. And there was a very high regard put on education. You know, like I said, you know, 1900 eighth grade graduation, most people only went to the eighth grade because really that's all that was necessary. And the eighth grade 1900 is the equivalent of a college degree now.
By the way, did you see the deal with Huckleberry Finn? What some of the schools are doing?
Yeah,
I saw the report, and it's about, you know, and I'm going to say it because this is what happens: the word "nigger" is in there a whole bunch of times, and
yeah,
people are even afraid to say it. And you know, you see
unless
these
you're
white
rapping it.
Yes, exactly. But there was a black guy who said he's a teacher. He says it all the time. He says, "Get over it." He
yeah.
goes, without that word, you don't get the gist of Huckleberry Finn and what it was. He goes, you people got to get over it. This is silly. And I just thought it was great that this guy was doing this because so many were like, you know, they listen to goofs like Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, and all these other apologists, you know, who are the real racist.
Yeah. They're the racemongers.
Yes, they are. But unfortunately, most people, you know, I still to this day don't understand why Fox News and all the rest of them continue to go to Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, two of the most useless people on the planet.
I want to know what churches they're reverends in. That's what I would like to know.
I always want to know
that
too.
For 30 years, the Reverend Jesse Jackson. What church? The Reverend Al Sharpton. What church?
Don't forget the Reverend Louis Farrakhan.
Oh, I know. He's the Al Qaeda Church of whatever.
Yeah, he is. Well, he's a good friend of Gaddafi, by the way. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Oh, yeah. They've met together several times with Obama's pastor, Reverend Wright. At least I know where his church is. I know what
neighborhood he's at. But see, the media got him out of there, too. I mean, Obama should never have been elected after that. But the media saved his butt, is what they did,
in
you know.
The world. Oh, yeah.
So what do you think of the oil prices?
It's ridiculous. We're sitting on all this oil. It's a huge deal. The environmentalists have been trying to destroy our economy for so long, but the American people are so resilient and so entrepreneurial that we've staved them off for 40 years.
People don't understand that the environmentalists are out of the Communist Party.
Yeah.
You know, because when the wall came down, especially, you know, over 20 years ago, the communists didn't know where to go. So they jumped on the environmental movement, and man, has it been successful. And then you've got all these, back to the educators, a lot of these educators are the same ones, and they're educating our kids. The first thing I thought of this morning was there's how many millions of classrooms or hundreds of thousands of classrooms today where you have 20 to 30 kids who are in a room, and you have one person in front of them most of the time, and they could tell them anything they want to tell them.
Yeah. Well, Thomas Dewey is the father of government education in this last 150 years. And Thomas Dewey was an associate and a friend and a fellow traveler with Karl Marx and Charles Darwin. Can you expect anything different from this guy?
Well, no.
We had world-class education in the United States without any federal government, without really mostly state governments. I remember when I was in high school in the early 80s, Wyoming had the highest number of one-room schoolhouses in the country. They still had K-12 one-room schoolhouses in Wyoming. And guess what? Wyoming had the best education system in the United States.
You mean they didn't have any multi-million-dollar gyms and Olympic-sized swimming pools?
Now they're not first.
Exactly right. Exactly. You know, I always wondered about that, too, because when we were growing up, it was about the football team and the basketball team and all this other stuff, the social stuff. And one day it hit me, you know, as I'm getting older, and I was like, no, wait a minute. This is supposed to be the educational system. If you want socialism, let's have another school for that one. Then you can decide whether you want to take them there or not. But if the whole idea is just to go to school and learn, why are they learning football? Why is that? Why are we paying for that?
Well, so if you I know you, have to, you do have to keep young people busy so that they're not caught in mischief, but why is the government paying for it? I mean, Little League doesn't exist on government.
Yeah, but why is that? Yeah, but why is that attached to the educational system? Seriously.
Because if you, if you actually taught the kids to think and how to reason, then they wouldn't be very controllable, and you wouldn't have this nice, easy, controllable group of people to do what you want.
Oh, okay. This is Super Dave. Super Dave, I tried calling you. I'm on the air. Yeah, I'm on the air. So.
But we spend an inordinate amount of money per student on buildings, on sports programs, and there's nothing wrong with sports.
Yeah.
$300 textbooks, programs and seminars and
well,
teacher
conventions. Let me call you back a little bit later,
okay? Nothing to do with educating children.
Okay, but
if we put every dollar into the classroom and ditch the Department of Education, ditch most of the state levels of hierarchy, we would have a much better return on our investment and would be spending a whole heck of a lot less money. But in reality, it needs to be the parents need to be the ones that make the decisions on how to educate their children, because the parents are the ones that are really have the God-given responsibility to take care for their kids.
Oh, you're wrong, because you know as well as I do, the parents don't know, because the teachers know better because they got certification. And by the way, somebody says, don't mess with football, Dave. I ain't messing with football. Yeah. I'm messing with football when it comes to how important a part of it is of the educational deal. That's all.
Yeah.
Booey on you.
Want to take a wild guess. In 1990, what percentage of public school teachers had their kids in private school?
Oh, I'll bet you it's over 50% easy.
It was 44%.
Oh, I was close. Okay.
Yeah, but 44% of government school teachers had their kids in private school.
I'll bet you it's higher.
One, they could afford it. It's probably higher now because they're better paid. One, they could afford it. And two, they could see what a school was like, you know, from the ground floor, and they didn't want their kids in it.
Well, you know how every year, this one, in fact, every year there's a tell people, oh, quit. Okay, every year you'll find people who, see, you messed me up. I was going to say something, and I messed up. Darn it. I hate when people do that. Go ahead. I'll think what it was. This is what happens at old age. By the way, Don Carricker called and apologized. He was held back. He couldn't get to the phone. That's his excuse. I'll get him back later. We'll have him back on. But Don's a good guy. You know Don Carricker?
Don is a good guy. I like him.
He is. He's a good guy. Yeah, he owes me big time, though.
And I think he'd do a good job. I think he'd do a good job.
Yeah.
The high school that I went to out in California, an older guy that I knew when I was a paper boy, delivered his paper. He actually ran for school board while he was a senior in high school because he turned 18 at the beginning of his senior year. And he won a spot on the school board while he was still a student at the high school.
That's pretty funny.
And a lot of the things that made our school a pretty decent school came out of that tenure, 10, 15 years before I was there, because nobody on the school board had any idea what went on in the school.
Of course they did.
And so they had this new school board member that got out of class 2 hours ago and could tell you exactly what's going on in the school.
Well, you know I wouldn't be qualified to be on a school board, don't you? Do you know why I wouldn't? Why would I not be? Let's see if you know the answer. Why would I not be qualified?
Because your kid doesn't go to their school.
Not only that, but I homeschool.
Yeah, that's evil. How can you do that?
Yeah, that's evil. But I was joking around one time. I was thinking about running for school board, and somebody said, well, why should you run for school board? Your child doesn't even go there. And I said, that makes me that much more qualified. Well, what does that mean? I said, because obviously I know what the hell I'm doing. You guys don't. And but that's how these people think. You know, you're supposed to be part of it. You know, it's like people that are married, they hate their marriage, and they hang around with everybody else that's not happy, and, you know, they misery loves company.
Yeah.
You know, so
we had a middle school a couple blocks from our school that it was middle school. 6th, 7th, and 8th. And they had a daycare center. And they couldn't figure out why they had to get a daycare center, and they couldn't figure out why they had such a huge pregnancy problem at this school. And it turns out that in their quest to be artistic and not to disrupt the children's artistic talents, they had an unsupervised free period for about an hour in the middle of the day after lunch with no supervision. And they couldn't understand why all the 8th grade girls and 7th grade girls were getting pregnant.
Gee whiz.
They couldn't make a connection between the two.
Well, you know what's funny about that is, you know, as a homeschooler, you homeschool too, right?
Sort of.
Okay.
I supplement the schooling
in my own. Well, as a homeschooler, though, I've had people say something about the fact that, you know, aren't you concerned about their social skills, which, you know, you hear all the time. And I go, well, what am I missing? Well, they need to be with other kids. I go, oh, you're talking about the sex and the drugs. Okay, I got you now. And they look at you like you're weird. And it's like, then wait a minute, are you saying you don't have sex and drugs at your school? Well, yeah, but they have to learn to, when they go to school, they have to learn how to turn that down.
Yeah, it's working great, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and not only that, but is this something you practice in your own job? Do you go to your job and you go, yeah, there's all kinds of sex and drugs in. I don't even take any.
Yeah.
You know, I remember one of them is the – how'd you like to – did you see the bullying video?
Oh, the guy that's living in our White House talking about bullying?
No. The bullying the kids. There was a decent-sized kid.
That stomped him?
Yes.
That was great. Yeah. That was awesome.
And guess what? He got in trouble.
Oh, yeah, of course he got in trouble. Well, they probably didn't take video of the 6 months before that where this little punk was probably taunting him forever. He finally snapped.
He should get
You know how many times I saw that in school as a teacher and as a student? Yeah, you don't see the months before. And then the mom comes out, well, you could have hurt my little angel. You know, your kid's not a little angel. And the parent probably should be in classes for – don't get me started on that.
Well,
I think
that
big kid – he's a hero.
I was beat up.
I think he should get a medal.
Well, I was a little guy, and I was beat up at school.
I was a big guy, and I got beat up in school.
Well, and supposedly that was supposed to be good for me. It's going to make me more of a man. Really?
Well, then.
So,
then
how many people do you know
like
go to work? Well, how many people you know go to work and get beat up, and then they make sure they go back the next few days because they want to learn to be a man?
Yeah.
I mean, if you can't handle it as an adult, what makes you think you can handle as a kid? I'm not saying
that big kid handled it great.
Well, you know, as a homeschool parent, I've never seen really any issues ever with homeschoolers beating each other up.
No. Otherwise, Springfield can be a terrible place when all these homeschoolers come in for their athletic conferences here. It's not going to be safe to walk the streets, all these homeschoolers everywhere. We have to warn everybody.
Well, funny you should say that because I actually had a lady one time at the bowling alley that said, you know, I got to tell you, first, I was a little concerned. She said, I just thought the homeschooling community was weird and all that stuff. And she goes, they are by far the best behaved kids that we have.
Oh, yeah.
She goes, I had no idea.
And you hear that everywhere, at museums, at amusement parks, at theaters, at bowling alleys, restaurants, everywhere. Because you know, we did the state mandated testing for homeschool kids at our school, you know, kids that we never saw except on test day. And they did great, and they were well socialized. I mean, the kids that give homeschoolers the bad rap are the parents that have no interest in educating their kids, and the government school has no interest in having them in their classroom, so they set up a homeschool program so they can be educated at home through the government school, and then they don't do a damn thing.
Well, you know what?
And those
for anybody that's out there that – has kids in school, homeschooling isn't hard, is it?
No.
But I have to tell you, this may freak you out, though, because it does freak out some parents. We don't do anything with the books that are out there, period. Zero. None. She reads, don't get me wrong, and she does a lot of stuff on the computer, but we do not take any workbooks or any of that stuff. And I tell you what, ask her a question, she'll know the answer. It's almost like unschooling. You've heard of that before, haven't you?
Yeah.
That shocked you there? I don't think they need to know half the stuff that they're teaching in school anyway, personally. That's part of the issue. But what's most amazing, Dean, these kids know anyway. They end up knowing it anyway. That's what's amazing. And they weren't taught, because my daughter's telling me things that I'm like, what? I had no idea. Had no idea some of the stuff she's learning. But she, it sticks in her head because it's not forced down her throat either.
Right. Well, the kids
what did you teach? What did you teach, by the way?
I taught a freshman Bible class because it was a church school. I taught geography, biology, auto shop, speech, bonehead math.
Bonehead math. What's that mean?
The kids that weren't interested in learning math but had to take a math class, I teach them how to balance a checkbook, how to do an invoice, you know, stuff we use every day, how to run a cash register.
Basic math. That's every kid should go through.
Yeah. You know, and tell you what, I've hired half a dozen good kids that have gone through the government school system at where I work now, and most of them can't do that.
Right. No, I agree. I agree. Well, listen, we're going to have to leave here in a couple of minutes. Are you going to be able to make it to the tea party, and what's your thoughts on that? Do you think it's worth still doing tea parties? Do you think we should be done with them?
Absolutely, we should be doing tea parties. We should be shouting from the rooftops. We need to keep our neighbors excited about the tea party. We need to keep the politicians unexcited and scared. This is our country. It doesn't belong to the Republicans and the Democrats. They don't have any kind of special exemption where they get to do what they want, and we have to just follow their lead. The country does not belong to them. It doesn't belong to any political party.
Yeah, don't you think that most people honestly think that they don't have to worry about anything until the next election?
Yeah.
They have no idea.
And politicians live for that.
Well, like you said, the power of the Tea Party was awesome this year. And even though we're not getting the things done, there's a lot of stuff going on in D.C. right now from the new from the freshman class, not all of them, but a lot of them, who are putting the screws to the leadership. And they're waiting for us to back them and say, we're still here. And that's where too many people screw up. They just think that, well, it's over. We'll wait till it's election time. It is election time. It's election time on April 5th.
Yeah.
And if people don't show up and they don't start putting new people in there to do the right thing, it's going to be the same old thing. They're going to look at it and they go, well, he was there last year. I don't know this guy here, so I won't vote for him, but I'll vote for – where we've made it the last 2 years, I guess it's okay.
Some people think that because they voted and put someone in, they've done their part and they can do it the woodwork again.
Yeah, that was their civic duty. I love that when they go, I did my civic duty. I voted.
Yeah,
no, that was the easy part.
They should do their civic duty and not vote if that's all the thought they're going to put into it. I'd prefer they stay home.
You're telling me you're encouraging people not to vote?
If they're too stupid to look at what's going on and too lazy to stay involved the rest of the 2 years, they probably should just stay home and watch Oprah.
Well, they should. Well, Oprah's telling them how to vote, remember? Oprah's the one that said, vote for Obama. He's going to save us all. By the way,
that's why I'm telling them to stay home.
All right. Well, listen, dude. All right, ma'am. We'll talk to you again sometime. I'll stop by and see you, okay?
All right. All right.
All right. Thanks for joining us. And we got about a minute left here, folks. And just let me see as I hang up on him there. We'll be back tomorrow. I think we're going to see if Don will come back on. Don messed up. He called me off when I was on the air, but he at least called, said he had some problems. So we'll forgive him. Don's a good guy, and he probably deserves your vote. But we're going to see who else will come on here and see if they deserve it. Some of the people I was reading about, honestly, the liberals want really, really bad. And the first thing they want to do is they want your money. So we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. And thanks for listening to Super Dave Show. There you go. Goodbye.
You can't quit.
And why not? I got fired.
You can't fire him.
Why not?
He quit.
Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
Germans? Forget it, he's rolling.
And it ain't over now. Because when the going gets tough... The tough get going! Who's with me? Let's go! Go!
Thanks. I needed that.